Get me for free. Courtesy of Yelp for Restaurant. Tools and tactics are what's going to make you successful in 2024. Yelp for Restaurants has the tools you need to scale your restaurant this year, and I'm here to help. Sign up for a consultation with Yelp Guest Manager and get a free one-hour coaching session with me. In our session, we'll dive deep into your restaurant and build the blueprint to overcome your current obstacles and scale your profitability. You can sign up for both free sessions by simply going to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp today. I'll see you soon. Now here we go.
People are creatures of habit, but ultimately love to discover things on their own. They love to discover their own path, specifically as it relates to their lifestyle. People make their first massive deal in a career, or they get the promotion that they have been waiting for. They know what they want to do with that accomplishment. My journey in becoming plant-based was such an exciting, curious, and experiential path that I did not want anybody to tell me what to do and how to do it.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. What comes to mind when you hear the words vegan food? For many of us, it's burlap clothing and plates made of cardboard. But Stephen Salm is out to change that. Stephen founded Planta, a vegan restaurant that transcends every boundary placed on that genre of food. The branding, the build-out, and the culinary program all speak to what it is. One of the most compelling restaurant concepts in the last 20 years. Even for carnivores. In our conversation today, we unpack the strategy he developed and executed to bring veganism into the mainstream on a national level.
Believe it or not, it was just an admiration and a passion. I was really mesmerized from a young age, particularly with the resort space. Obviously, as a kid growing up, you look forward to your time away from school and where you would be able to go on vacation. And so whether that was going down to Florida or Caribbean Island, growing up in New York, it was definitely would always try to escape the cold wherever possible. And just truly developed a fascination with how resorts in particular could make money and become such a business. Obviously, from a young age, you're not thinking about enterprise and the economic impact, but you're always mesmerized by how can I go and get lunch at the pool and watch parents go to the casino with friends and have different types of restaurants, buffet, fine dining, see people dressed up to go to a wedding. And it became this fascination with hospitality that really ultimately allowed me to pursue that passion. I think it was certainly not in any of my upbringing to pursue the restaurant business, but as a home and as a family, the center of the plate and having dinner together as a family was a pretty instrumental and paramount part of my upbringing, whether that was after sports or super early and before we had to go to tutors or anything like that. It was always, when can our family sit down and break bread together? Shabbat dinner as well, growing up in a Jewish household. So that really became a very, very important part of our upbringing. And my father was European. I was born and raised in Germany and a Holocaust survivor. My mom was born and raised in Canada. So really a scratch kitchen in our household, a conversation at dinner, what we would be cooking for tomorrow's dinner, and allowed me to pursue something in hospitality that I really was able to connect with.
And professionally, what did that path look like?
Professionally, the typical start in all aspects of the restaurant position in front of house. So host to server to bartender, really had a passion for serving guests and making them feel welcome. Applied for a management position with Ritz-Carlton Hotels, really learned the essence of treating your fellow coworkers and your guests the same. They carried the same weight of importance, and transitioned to full service restaurants. And my first managerial position was with BLT back in 2007.
And at some point you decide, I want to go independent. I want to do it on my own. I have a story to tell. And then you do it. And talk to me about expectation versus reality. I was joking with the founder of Dead Rabbit, and I said, there's this stark contrast between knowing every facet of the bar business and then becoming a bar owner, right? The delta is massive, and I don't know how to explain it to people. I don't even know how to better prepare others for it. But what did that look like for you, and what were you struck by?
Yeah, so the path and journey was super interesting. I left New York City and was recruited to move to Toronto to work for a very large sports entertainment company that is the parent company of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Toronto Raptors, the Toronto FC, Live Nation in Canada. And so was a tremendous learning experience from the get-go. My departure from New York City hospitality and entering another world where hospitality was not the main source and driver of revenue for the business. And so automatically that opportunity really prepared me for a sense of autonomy that truly becoming an entrepreneur would throw obstacles at. So I was able to sort of earn a little bit more confidence in the design, build, full P&L management, truly taking ownership of your business as a CEO with a management opportunity with Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. And what was interesting is that I actually decided that starting our business in Toronto was the right decision because there was a lot of storytelling that I felt I had an opportunity to do in that market. I developed an amazing network of friends, colleagues, coworkers, relationships, networks through just being new to that city with hot restaurants that people wanted to go to, and recognized that there was a lot to be desired, and a huge amount of focus and attention was really being spent and invested in experiences in Toronto at the time and kind of the early 2010 era. And so started with an idea and realized that if I was going to do this, it needed to be with partners that could really support a long-term vision. It's not an inexpensive industry to experiment in. And to do that requires discipline. And I guess the question being, what are the surprises and what was I unprepared for? When you decide to go out on your own, there's really no place to look left and right. You have to be the responsible party that has the answer or can at least arrive at the answer. And you rely on your mentors. You rely on getting over your fears and confidence of recognizing that at the end of the day, this is a business about serving people, buying products, making them into something hopefully much better, and selling them at a premium. And what's left at the end of the day is your profit. And so the actual fundamentals of what restaurants do is not the complicated part to understand. And that's what I felt quite equipped and prepared for. But what I didn't was, what is the appropriate tax structure? What is the appropriate budget mechanisms to write a menu from scratch? And it's trial and error.
And at 31, you go plant-based. And it was through that lens that you saw an opportunity, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I had started Chase Hospitality Group 11 years ago, 2012. And our first restaurant that we opened in 2013 is called The Chase and is recognized as Canada's best new restaurant the first year that it's opened, and really has an amazing entrance for our group to not only gain popularity, but really build a solid foundation around what our group and our company was about, the ethos, our guest-obsessed culture. And after watching a documentary approximately 4 years into my entrepreneurial journey, it was Cowspiracy, and certainly not a gory or activist-led film around anything other than the environmental impact of factory farming. And it just was this light went off in my head and was like, this is pretty irresponsible that I have no idea about this. And I'm sure a lot of people don't have any idea about this at the time, but I really knew nothing about it. And you associate your purveyor or your meat packer that's basically producing as you see their dry aging room, you see their factory, you see their processing facility, but you don't really equate that back to the cattle ranchers and how that's being done and where that's being processed and what they're being fed and where that food is grown that they're fed and what that impact is on water and gas, and really painted a pretty ugly picture and immediately decided to give up red meat. I felt obligated to do my part and say, what is going to happen if I just give up red meat? I'm the type of personality that is a little bit hypermaniac, where I'm like, okay, I've given up red meat for 48 hours and I don't see anything that's happened now. So where am I going to get my protein? What's going to happen to me if I stop eating red meat? And Google, of course, leads you down this path of curating all these wonderful veganism articles and talks about grains and beans and different vegetables to get alternative sources of protein. And when you say strong like an ox, well, what does an ox eat? An ox doesn't eat anything but other than vegetables. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I said to my wife, let's just try going vegan. This is like day four. And she's like, okay, let's do it. And so then we watched Forks Over Knives and Earthlings and every possible documentary about veganism. And we're like half the day Googling recipes and half the day we're like in tears about what's happening to these poor animals. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. So I call an executive meeting with my team. And when I say executive meeting, it's basically every executive chef of our four restaurants, every general manager of our four restaurants. We have a director of operation, a head of marketing. And I said, listen, we're going to take our menus and we're going to convert them into be 25% plant-based, largely because there's nothing that I can really even eat at our own restaurants at this point now. And two, you don't realize how difficult this is to go to a restaurant. And it's like, if you want to make adjustments to a menu, it's pretty embarrassing. And two of our restaurants are in pretty core financial district, business lunch, power dinner, closing dinner type of vibe. And I'm like, if somebody's got a dietary restriction or allergy, or just doesn't have, has a life choice that wants to lead them down being a vegetarian or a vegan, we're not that great at giving them great variety. And so that came as a bit of a shock. But what I loved about our business is everybody rose to the occasion and delivered some really creative dishes. I just started getting so excited about it because socially, I would go out to dinner with friends. And no matter what, if I was the one that selected to go to a steakhouse because I knew they had great sides, or we went to a great fish restaurant or wherever we went to, no matter what, the minute I picked up the menu, I became the topic of conversation. Even though I wouldn't say a word, it's like, oh, what's the vegan going to eat? Are you sure there's enough choices here for you? You guys want to share? I don't know if he's going to want to eat with us. And it's like, okay, you know what? This is great. I'm going to take all this feedback and I'm just going to create something that people that are plant-based, not plant-based, carnivores, can all find something that they enjoy about the experience. And the only thing that you're not going to know or care about is the fact that this is plant-based food, and it's just going to be a great restaurant. And that was ultimately what was the foundation of what Planta is. And it really was an answer to what is truly happening in society. And sorry, I should say not is, but was truly happening in society, where 7 years ago, plant-based wasn't as much of a topic as it was, as it is today. And certainly 10 and 15 years ago, it was not even close to where it was 7 years ago. So it took off and guests really began to feel comfortable and understood what we were trying to create. And the first couple of days that we opened, pretty sure, you know, every vegan in the city of Toronto came to Planta. And I was like, this is nice, but this is not what I want. This is not the answer. Because if you're already plant-based, you already get it. It's just that if you're not willing to give up the fact that you're having bagel with eggs in the morning and a Caesar salad with chicken for lunch, and a piece of fish or a steak for dinner and recognize that three meals a day with different animals that are coming from all over the world is not the answer to building a sustainable future. We need those people to come in and buy into it. And slowly but surely, we began to see a different guest coming in and a repeat guest that understood what we were trying to do and was not intimidated, but they were rather excited about the offering. And it's just been kind of awesome evolution ever since. I partnered with David Lee, who was a restaurateur, and so obviously still is a restaurateur, but a restaurateur that had one of the greatest restaurants in Toronto open for 13 years called Nota Bene. And his guests, and particular regulars of mine at the Chase, and very close friends and regulars of his at Nota Bene, said, there's no chef that I know that has a greater appreciation for vegetables than David Lee. He was a big meat eater, and there was maybe one vegetarian dish on his menu, but paid as much attention to the garnish on with the cote de boeuf or the chicken for two or the halibut or the duck salad as he did the animal protein. And we couldn't agree. I wanted to obviously create something full vegan, and he really wanted to do vegetarian to allow the use of dairy and eggs. And he said, it just doesn't feel right. We have to do this, and it's got to be fully vegan. And we did. Here we are. So it's 7 years now, and we're opening our 11th restaurant tonight in Williamsburg.
Amazing.
Yeah.
For those that are unfamiliar with Planta, you should Google it. And the reason you should Google it is because when I think vegan, I think Birkenstocks. I think burlap clothing. I think eating on recycled cardboard plates. And I'm certainly not alone in that, but that is definitely not what you built. And Planta is this very interesting movement into what I would call contemporary vegan culture, where it looks as good or better as every contemporary restaurant that's out there. It is stylish. It's a place that you would be proud to eat. And it's, and I don't mean to be boastful and complimentary simply for the sake of doing it, but I was really surprised because Planta represents, I think, a paradigm shift in the vegan culinary world in the way that you really did hit the nail on the head. You created a brand that I think carnivores and vegetarians and vegans are proud to attach to because it looks great and the food looks great and it's a beautiful restaurant to sit in. You built just a really great restaurant that happens to be vegan.
Obviously so appreciative of your thoughts and recognition of the whole picture, because it's not just the food on the plate that makes a buyer make a decision at this point now. People's connections to brands that they buy in the supermarket or ones that they have a subscription to or restaurants that they frequent are not just simply because I go to this place because they have the best branzino, or I love their tuna tartare, or no place makes a better kale salad and that's why I'm going to support it. It's all the levers pulled together, which is obviously what makes retail so incredibly exciting and interesting and, of course, challenging. But you kind of said it perfectly, and something that we've always given by is that Elon Musk is not, it's not saying, I've built a pretty awesome electric car. And it's pretty great for being electric, right? This is an amazing car, and it just happens to not have a combustion engine. And so Planta, first and foremost, is just a great restaurant, period. It's not a great restaurant for being plant-based. It's not a great restaurant that just serves vegetables. Our vision and our hope is just to have a great restaurant. And we leave animals off the plate. And our proof is that it can be as satisfactory and enjoyable and experiential and as unique as any other restaurant experience that you choose to have. And when we started Planta, number one, there was coconut ceviche on the menu. There was hummus. There was pizza. There was lasagna. There was different types of salads with a split pea fritter resembling falafel. And at the time, it felt like the right mix. But as our confidence grew and people began to understand our business more, has allowed us to really branch out and say, okay, now I'm going to create an American and Italian Planta, and I'm going to call it Planta. I'm going to create an Asian-influenced Planta, and I'm going to call it Planta Queen. Now I'm going to create a Latin-inspired menu, and I'm going to call it Planta Cocina. And so it's really given us the ability to differentiate and also expand in the markets that we are in, because people go to restaurants everywhere. And sometimes people feel like having delicious Japanese or Chinese food. Sometimes people feel like having a pizza and a pasta. So getting that support from our guests has allowed us to really branch out and push ourselves to different cuisines and try to recreate dishes that are traditionally, of course, made with animal products.
But you took it far. You took it farther than I would have taken it personally. And I mean, the niche of the niche. You don't emulate animal proteins, which I think is the lowest hanging fruit and the easiest way to lure people into the environment. There's no faux chicken or faux burgers on the menu. Like, you are exactly what you say you are, and you're not pretending to be anything else. And not taking anything away from those restaurants, but you had to know that was a calculated risk going into this.
Yeah. David, his appreciation for a single bean, an heirloom bean, or the way in which his sushi rice is cooked, along with kind of my path and upbringing in hospitality, but also my upbringing at home, has never been around alternatives. And so absolutely, we have a burger on the menu. You can lay out all the ingredients on the table and say, I know what that is. I know what that is. I know what that is. And I know what that is. And I know what that is. And all of them are cooked using different techniques and using a RoboCoupe to form it together and let it thaw overnight and form it into burgers. And that's my veggie burger. And the majority of it is exactly that. It's just all vegetables and some grains as well. And there is a place for the impossibles of the world. And there is a place for the Beyonds to be successful, because they feed more people through fast food and quick service than Planta does. At this moment in time, with Planta as a full service restaurant, it is not our vision to feed millions of people a day through drive-throughs and out of utter convenience. To truly get our message across with Planta specifically, it is in the form of full service dining, because that is truly where I believe we have the niche of the niche. We have the ability to respect the ingredients, put the time in, invest in the prep, and build restaurants that have enough seats to support our labor model. And with the expansion, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. It's challenges to really allow us to fine-tune how our guests order our menu, what they resonate with the most, what they reorder the most. And many things on our menu are a 2 or 3 day process to get them from their state in which they're brought in to when they end up into a different dish. But that investment is time. And the same way you invest in the products that you bring in, you also, we see it as investing in our creativity and also ourselves.
You mentioned that some of these processes take 2 to 3 days, and you are bringing food in from everywhere, including Hawaii. How do you stay profitable? How do you ensure a reasonable cost of goods relative to that ceiling that people are willing to pay?
Yeah, it's certainly a conversation that we're having more now than we were 18 months ago or 24 months ago. Prices of shipping, the prices of transportation, the prices of just about everything have gone up considerably. We went 22 out of the last 24 months with no price increases. Not because we didn't want to or our margins weren't affected, but we were also concerned about the growth of our business and losing guests. What has truly impacted our profitability more, Josh, than the food inflation is the wage inflation. And it's a tough argument to have, and specifically one that's really hard to argue against, because you can't deny that it's more expensive for everybody to live. And so a chef 24 months ago was asking for a certain starting salary, and now that number is up a lot. It's not up by what inflation is. It's up by what that individual feels that they need to be able to make to support themselves. And building that into our model has forced us to make some sacrifices. We're delighted to pay the salaries that people want and feel that they're entitled to earn, but it may just mean that we can't have as many salary leaders on our management team as we once did before. And so the food cost of goods piece has increased. We have seen it level out, but it hasn't nearly impacted as a general term produce as much as it has meat, fish, dairy, eggs. There has been remarkable spikes in romaine lettuce, remarkable spikes in avocados, cauliflower. But those are general fluctuations and allow us to respond with what is our exposure with romaine lettuce being 200% more expensive. It is with one Caesar salad on the menu. Nothing else has romaine. What is our exposure with cauliflower doubling? It's with two menu items. So it is absolutely affecting us, but not in such a macro level that has been above and beyond 2 to 3 percentage points of our overall food cost. And I think from just a brand perspective at this level of growth, our decision has been to hold off on taking price till we understand how the economy is going to respond to deflation. And for the most part, it has stabilized. It hasn't normalized, but it has stabilized. Not seeing fluctuations in anything other than climate disaster or the war in Ukraine really impacting pricing.
I'm going to read your words back to you. In a recent interview, you said, "People get really offended when you try to shove your values at them." In my experience, that's been the whole vegan vegetarian movement. And that's not how you market. And I think a lot of independents out there struggle with marketing and marketing in a way that'll resonate. And I feel like you've done a wonderful job of crafting marketing that matters to you, but also matters to the people that are giving you money. Can you talk to me about the marketing strategy and the messaging around Planta?
It all connects back to my personal journey. People are creatures of habit, but ultimately love to discover things on their own. They love to discover their own path, specifically as it relates to their lifestyle. People make their first massive deal in a career, or they get the promotion that they have been waiting for. They know what they want to do with that accomplishment. My journey in becoming plant-based was such an exciting, curious, and experiential path that I did not want anybody to tell me what to do and how to do it. Didn't want people that say, substitute this for this, or don't buy this brand, or do buy this brand, or how can you call yourself a vegan and you're still wearing leather shoes? At the end of the day, there's a million and one things that we're doing right and wrong on a daily basis. But when it comes to the personal choices that people make, like it or not, there's a lot of places to get your caloric intake that are not Planta. You can go to a grocery store. You can go to any of our restaurants in the neighborhoods that we operate. You can order Uber Eats. You can cook at home. You can do whatever you want. We should be the least decisive in your journey towards whether or not you want to experience more or less of a plant-based journey. Our strategy in allowing you to do that is to use the things that we believe that we are very good at, which is creating awesome experiences inside of the four walls of our restaurant, creating really, really, really unique and delicious flavors that hopefully leave you satiated to say, I would return. And lastly, utilize those exact principles to invite you back into our business. We are not a business that is going to say, we are preaching this, and if you are not preaching this with us, don't come. We are saying, whatever stage that you're at, if you eat at Peter Luger's four nights a week, and you want to just give us one lunch, we will be there with doors wide open, meeting you halfway to explain our menu, walk you through what we do, and hopefully you love it. And that was really what resonated with me on this journey, because I saw in the early days, I was the topic of conversation. I was the focal point of criticism. It just developed such a bad rap to push people into a value system or belief system that I felt so confident that they would discover on their own one way or the other. Now, that may be a full decade or two or never later. But we cannot ignore the fact that people's habits are fundamentally changing. Look at your experience today going into Whole Foods Market versus 7 years ago when Planta opened. You had soy milk, cashew milk, almond milk. Today, you have probably 60 varieties of all of the above, including pistachio, macadamia, hemp, coconut. They don't start creating and stocking shelves based on no demand for that to happen. And so what I was so excited about on my path was, oh my God, if I do this to almonds and I soak them and then I put them in a cheesecloth and then I add lemon zest and salt and garlic powder, it really has this amazing texture, like just like ricotta. But I didn't want anybody to tell me to give up cheese. I wanted to make that decision and discussion and kind of that experience on my own. And that's really the principles that we've continued to apply to Planta. I hope that Planta continues to thrive with non-plant-based guests that are in our restaurants, because I believe so much in what we're doing that I think that experience will translate to their buying decisions at home. And I always make it a point when people are dining with kids, not only because we're raising our own kids plant-based, but the younger generation resonate with this food far more than the older generation. And so if I can see a 7 or 8 or 9 year old, and people have personal decisions on this as well, but with their iPhone, taking pictures of their food and then putting it on Snapchat, I know we're doing something right, because that's our future. By the time that they're in a position to raise a family of their own, hopefully those memories of their best experiences being plant-based will translate to the way in which they lead their life.
Talk to me about growth. First Toronto, then Miami, multiple locations, now Williamsburg. How did you chart the trajectory?
Well, what I put in paper and on a business plan, obviously, as you can imagine, was grossly interrupted by the pandemic. It was turned out to be one of the most amazing and humbling experiences as an entrepreneur, when you thought you had something so great that could completely disappear and evaporate. What we've learned is that people want to enjoy Planta under their own terms and their own experience, and it hasn't been geographically limiting. We hire really, really awesome local management that we try to bring into our business and our company as far in advance as possible. California, we're opening in May. We've had California leaders employed in our business since September. Obviously, we recognize that there's not a lot of companies that can do that and support that, but we want California managers opening up a California restaurant. We don't want Toronto managers, and we don't want New York managers opening up a California restaurant. We want people to bring the chefs and the managers that they used to work with and the line cooks that they had the most success with into their business and manage and mentor them on there with their interpretation of what Planta is. So we are geographically agnostic. We are learning a lot more about our guests and where they are. Planta likes density. Planta loves guests that invest in themselves in the wellness space, invest in themselves from an education standpoint. And also, we are following the trends of where a lot of plant-based dining experiences are popping up with a huge amount of attention. So we are doubling the size of our business this year. We've doubled the size of our management team a year ago. And so really trying to prep and understand our business for this growth. And it, of course, doesn't come without its challenge, but we will be opening in all the regions that we're operating in. We're expanding in Chicago, Los Angeles, and Atlanta are the new markets that we'll be opening in this year that are brand new markets to Planta.
The restaurant industry is filled with unspoken rules and traditions about how things should be done. How would you like to see our industry turn the tables to create a better future for all of us?
Yeah, so a really amazing question, and not an answer that's one answer is correct. There's a history of systemic damages that come along with our industry. There's also a path and a history of true beauty and innovation. And so what is the appropriate way to marry all of those ingredients where you can have innovation, evolution, but also benefits and a work-life balance and a wage to support themselves, a restaurant where leaders that are female have as much higher wage than their male counterparts. These are all of the systemic challenges that certainly I'm young at 37, but many of the people that work in this company and work obviously in the hundreds of thousands of restaurants have grown up in a culture of yelling and screaming and theft, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. I don't have the answer as to what solves everything. What I know is that we are trying to do things very differently at Planta. And we're not trying an experiment to say, well, what if we did it this way instead of this way? We genuinely believe that our guest profile today at Planta is under 45, predominantly 65% female. That should be the exact same fabric of our workforce. So our executive leadership team is 75% female. I can't, unfortunately, prove this statistically, but I can feel very confident in making the statement that our wages for heart of house employees, culinary leaders, restaurant leaders are higher than the industry average in our competitive landscape. Obviously, as a whole, by leaps and bounds, but in our competitive landscape with the premium dining sector. We're a company that believes in vision and values. We're a company that believes in transparency and accountability. We try not to really enact ourselves with a corporate hierarchy. It's kind of a doors open policy for everyone all the time. And I recognize that the one area that I don't believe that we are able to fully dive into is we can't make our industry hours change. This is a 24-hour a day retail business. That comes with tremendous sacrifice. And all we are trying to do is create a work environment where that sacrifice is met with rewards on the other side of personal benefits, of real benefits, of lifestyle and workout benefits, all to really try to keep everybody healthy, happy, and engaged. Of course, a textbook answer, and it doesn't always work, but I'm pretty proud of our people, and I couldn't be a fraction of the success without them. So I think we're doing something right.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins, and the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie, and Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Stephen Salm. For more information on Planta, visit plantarestaurants.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.